हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ओम् श्रीपरमात्मने नमः. मोक्षसन्न्यासयोगो नाम अष्टादशोऽध्यायः. ओके, वि सा एट् फोर्थ् वर्स्. श्रीभगवानुवाच, भगवान् सेट्. Let us see the fourth verse. Again, we'll go to the fifth verse. Nischayam shrunu me tatra tyage bharata sattama tyago hi purusha vyagra trividhasam prakirtitah. So Bhagavan tells Arjuna, Arjuna, nischayam shrunu. Please do listen definitely. Listen to my words regarding sannyasa, but regarding the tyagaha. I told you already, Arjuna wanted to know the difference between tyagaha and sannyasaha. What tyagaha also literally means renunciation. Sannyasaha also means renunciation. But what is the difference? Why should you use two words? So, still, some generally many people are of this view that renunciation of activities not pertaining to spiritual progress, renunciation of activities which obstruct the spiritual progress. Not all the activities, renunciation of activities which obstruct the spiritual progress is sannyasaha. Then renunciation of the benefit of the results of actions is tyagaha. So, karma sannyasaha is sannyasaha. Karma pala sannyasaha is tyagaha. This is the view held by many people. This is the view of many others. So now Bhagavan wants to present his own view. What is sannyasa according to Bhagavan? What is tyagaha according to Bhagavan? What is Bhagavan's view or opinion of sannyasaha and tyagaha? So, until the third verse, Bhagavan only said, Bhagavan mentioned the others' opinion, opinions of others in terms of what is tyagaha, what is sannyasaha. And others are of the view that renunciation of activities which obstruct the spiritual progress is sannyasaha. Renunciation of results of actions is tyagaha. Now Bhagavan in the fourth verse gives his own view, his own verdict regarding renunciation. He says, Hey Bharata Sattama, Bhagavan addresses Arjuna in the fourth verse. Hey Bharata Sattama means, O Sattaraha Sattamaha, O the most pious of the Bharata clan, or the most exalted of the Bharata clan. Hey Bharata Sattama, Hey Arjuna, Shunu, listen. May means mama. Listen to my words. My verdict. Listen to my verdict. Nischayam. Nischayam here implies my my view, my verdict. My flawless verdict, my exalted verdict, my supreme verdict, tyage. Tyage means regarding renunciation. Me nischayam tatra tyage shuno. May you listen to my verdict regarding renunciation. He says, tyagaha hi. Again he addresses, hey Purusha Vyagra. Vyagraha means tiger. Purusheshu Vyagraha, tiger among men. Purusha Vyagraha. See, tiger among men means what? Again, like Purusha Rishabha, Purusheshu Rishabha, or bull among men, tiger among men, lion among men, Purusha Simha. What does it mean? It means exaltedness, outstanding person. So, hey Purusha Vyagra, O outstanding among men, O exalted among men, hey Arjuna, Tyagaha Trividaha Samprakirtitaha is Bhagavan's view. Okay? Tyagaha hi Trividaha Samprakirtitaha. He indeed, Tyagaha, renunciation is Trivida Samprakirtitaha means renunciation is glorified to be, said to be. Renunciation is said to be Trividaha threefold. So renunciation is indeed known as, known to be threefold, said to be threefold. Okay, this is the literal meaning of the verse 4. So, Bhagavan Krishna now tells Arjuna, as I told you already, the Satpurushaha means noble person. Noble person is the one whose thought, word and deed are in alignment. The noble person is the righteous person whose actions do not transgress dharma is a noble person. And sat taraha means the more noble person. And sat tamaha means the most noble person. He Bharata Sattama means the most noble among the people of Bharata's clan. The noblest among the people of Bharata, Bharata's clan. So having addressed Arjuna really with enthusing words as Bharata Sattama. So Arjuna, of course, everyone in the, in fact, Dhritarashtra's sons also come the same family, but they are not noblest people. They're not even noble people. They're notorious people. So all Pandavas were noble people. Dharma, Yudhishthira, everyone, all five of them were noblest people, in fact. But Arjuna is the only one who is there with Krishna. So he says, hey, Bharata Sattama, O noblest, the most noble among the descendants of Bharata clan, Shunu, listen to me now. What? Me nischayam. Me nischayam means listen to my firm verdict tatra tyage regarding the renunciation. Listen to my words regarding sannyasa. Tyaga. Yes, tyagaha threefold. So here, what Bhagavan wants to say, there is no bhedaha. There is no difference between tyagaha and sannyasaha. Bhagavan says, tyagaha and sannyasaha are synonyms. Tyagaha and sannyasaha are synonyms. Which means, Bhagavan, even though he does not say anything, actually Bhagavan disagrees with views of other people. Other people differentiated sannyasaha and tyagaha. What did they say? Renunciation of action is sannyasaha. Renunciation of result of action is tyagaha. This is how others differentiated and they reveal their views. But Bhagavan Krishna, disagreeing with the views of other people, mentions what he states is, there's no difference at all actually between sannyasaha and tyagaha. Because sannyasaha and tyagaha are words derived from the different roots, meaning the same, they are synonyms. Okay. Now the question comes, if sannyasaha and tyagaha are synonyms, how is it possible to differentiate and why should they differentiate? How is it possible for them to say renunciation of action is sannyasaha, renunciation of the result of action is tyagaha? How can they say? Even though in both words actually means sannyasa, renunciation only. But renunciation of what? The difference is only in renouncing what. The words mean only renunciation. So Bhagavan Krishna does not see any difference at all. Therefore, what he says is both words actually mean the same. Tyagaha means renunciation. Sannyasaha means renunciation. So he says, Bhagavan says, renunciation is threefold. Sannyasaha, tyagaha trividaha. Tyagaha trividaha. Means what? Sannyasaha trividaha. According to, for him, they mean the same. Sannyasaha and tyagaha mean the same. And sannyasaha or tyagaha is threefold. And he says, O exalted among men, having addressed Arjuna, and he says, what are those? What are they? What is that? How? Tyaga is threefold. Let us see in the following verse. So, Arjuna is thinking, Bhagavan is saying, Tyagaha is threefold. It means, sannyasaha also must be threefold or what? So, what would be the definition of Tyagaha? How Tyaga is threefold? And what would be the definition of sannyasaha? That Arjuna wants to, and Arjuna is very keen to know, Bhagavan is going to discuss. Okay. Now, this is today's new verse, the fifth verse. Now, the fifth verse and the sixth verse. In these two verses, Bhagavan is going to present some important principles. I'm reminding you, the verse 5 and 6, in these two verses, Bhagavan presents some important principles. They're not specific, but general principles. And it is very important for us to remember those important principles. And why should we remember those important principles? Because they form part of the Vedic teaching. These principles which Bhagavan is going to discuss in verse 5 and 6 are the important ones because they also form, these principles also form part of the Vedic teaching. Okay. Everything here is Vedic teaching only, but still specifically Bhagavan is going to mention now. Okay. Yajna dana tap. Now I'm coming to the class. Yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyamevatati. Yajna danam tapas chaiva pavanani maneshinam. Yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyamevatati. Yajna danam tapas chaiva pavanani maneshinam. Yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyamevatati. Yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyamevatati. Yajna danam tapas chaiva pavanani maneshinam. Yajna danam tapas chaiva pavanani maneshinam. Okay. Let us read the sixth verse also. We'll come back to this fifth verse. Sanyasastu mahabaho. Okay, no. Yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyameva tat. Yajna danam tapas chaiva pavanani maneshinam. Sixth verse. Yetan yapitu karmani sangam tyaktva phalani cha. Yetan yapitu karmani sangam tyaktva phalani cha. Kartavyani time partha nischitam matam uttamam. Kartavyani time partha nischitam matam uttamam. Understand? Verse 5 and 6. Okay. Now, yajna, dana, tapaha, karma. One word. Yajnaha. Separate word. Danam. Separate word. Tapaha. Tapas. Separate word. Karma. Separate word. Four words. As a compound, instead of saying yajnaha, danam, tapaha, karma, yajna, dana, tapah, karma. Yajnaha is a masculine gender word. Danam is a neutral gender word. Tapas is a neutral gender word. Karma is a neutral gender word. Yajnaha, danam, tapas, karma. Okay. Now, yajnaha. So, here, the word karma. Karma means activity. Sometimes the word karma also means karma phalam. But here, you should take it as activity, action, performance. So, performance or activities in terms of yajnaha. Yajnaha means the ritual. Yajnaha is a Vedic form of worship. So activity in terms of Vedic form of worship. The performance of fire ritual. Then danam, activity in terms of charity or charitable activity. Tapaha means austerity. Austerity means again practice activity in the form of practicing certain disciplines. Austerity. Now all three. So karma, activity in terms of the performance of ritual, activity in terms of charity, activity in the form of practicing certain disciplines, which come under the category of tapas, austerity or penance. Okay. So yajnaha, danam, tapaha, all our activities. This is what? Natyajyam. So karma natyajyam. Natyajyam means should not be given up. Tyajyam means that which can be given up is tyajyam. Natyajyam, that which cannot be given up is atnatyajyam, means should not be given up. So strict, okay? So activity should not be given up. Karma natyajyam. Which activity? Performance of ritual should not be given up. So performance of ritual for invoking the grace of devatas. So worship of devatas. Worship, performance of a ritual, yajnaha, so kindling a fire, offering oblations, invoking the grace of devatas is a fire ritual. And that yajnaha should not be given up. It is an activity. Then charity should not be given up. Danam should not be stopped, should not be given up. Austerity, practicing certain disciplines for inner progress, should not be given up. These are the threefold activities. Okay. Yajnaha, danam, tapaha, natyajyam should not be given up. So this activity should not be given up. Then what? Tat karyam eva. Karyam eva means what? It must be choicelessly, necessarily done. This activity must be performed. This activity must be done. Karyam eva. The double emphasis. It should not be given up. It should be done. It should be performed. Double emphasis. What should not be given up? What should be performed? Yajna must be performed. Yajna should not be given up. Charity must be given. The activity in the charity must be done. It should not be given up. Austerity, all disciplines practiced for inner progress which come under the category of austerity must be followed. Okay? Disciplines must be followed. It should not be given up. Okay. Now, he says, yajnaha, danam, tapaha, cha eva. Why they should not be given up? Why they should be performed? A double emphasis is given by Bhagavan. They should not be given up. They must be performed. Why? Because he says, yajnaha, danam, tapaha, cha. This yajnaha, this activity in terms of yajna, activity in terms of charity, and tapaha, and activity in terms of austerity, all these activities are karmani, manishinam pavanani. Pavanam means pavakam. That which purifies is pavanam. So pavanam means that which purifies, a purifier. So pavanani. Yajnaha is pavanaha. Danam is pavanam. Tapas is pavanam. Therefore, all these activities, all these three are purifiers. Yajnaha, danam, tapaha are purifying activities. Pavanani. Purifiers of whom? Purifiers of those who are committed. Manishinam. See, Manishi means people of clear knowledge are known as Manishinaha. Are people who are committed, are people who are devout, are Manishinaha. So Manishinam Pavanani. So these three, Yajnaha, Danam and Tapas, are purifiers of those people who are devout. Okay. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Generally, in Shastram, the people are divided into groups in keeping with their inclination, in keeping with interest. So division of the humanity is based on the inclination and interest. But here you have to understand, there are people who are prepared for the pursuit of jnanam. Of course, there are people who are all interested in jnanam. There are people who are not at all interested in jnanam. People who know the value of jnanam, people who do not know the value of jnanam. People who are interested in jnanam, people who are not interested in jnanam. But here Shastram says, Shastram presents the classification in this way, such a way that there are people who are qualified, who are eligible for the pursuit of jnanam, who are eligible for the attainment of jnanam, who are eligible for the pursuit of jnanam. Everybody is supposed to be pursuing jnanam. But there are people who are prepared enough for the pursuit of attainment of jnanam. Whereas there are people who are inclined for the attainment of jnanam, who are interested in jnanam, but still who are not yet qualified for the attainment of jnanam. So people who are endowed with the preparation required for the attainment of jnanam, and people who have yet to become qualified for the attainment of jnanam. This is how Shastram presents the division of the entirety of the humanity. Who are the prepared minded? Prepared minded are the people who are emotionally mature. Are mature minded or the prepared minded? Immature minded or the unprepared minded? And mature minded are relatively pure minded, and immature minded are relatively not pure minded, not adequately pure minded. We don't want to use impure, okay? The prepared minded are the people who are mature minded. Mature minded are the people who are relatively pure minded. And the unprepared minded are those who are not adequately, not mature. And those who are not adequately mature are those who are not adequately pure minded. Now, the highly, not absolutely mature minded, we do not have absolutely, totally, highly mature minded people. Relatively mature minded, relatively immature people. Absolutely mature person is the one who is a jnani. But now we are talking about only ajnanis. The entirety of the humanity is nothing, ignorant. And here, some are relatively mature, some are immature. And people who are emotionally immature, the emotionally immature people are immature minded or emotionally weak people, and they always crave for connections, crave for relationships. Relationship means they need to be associated with something or the other. Emotionally immature people naturally crave for relationship, connections. But which means the unprepared minded, the immature minded, for emotionally weak people, cannot be healthy mentally unless they have some proper relationship. If it means they can be peaceful the immature people, emotional people, emotionally immature people, or you can say emotionally means what? However, physically they may be grown up people. So emotionally means emotional people, immature people, can be peaceful and happy, healthy, only if they have certain relationship. Which means they are dependent on relationships for them to be peaceful and happy. Suppose you do not have, if those people do not have proper relationships or healthy, if they do not have understanding, proper understanding, then they will be very disturbed. Their mentally, they'll be very, very disturbed. Unless these immature people, unless they have healthy relationship, and they will be very disturbed. And they'll be unhealthy. The disturbed people are unhealthy, sick people. So the immature mind is desperately in need of friendship, relationship, companionship. Emotional companionship is a must for the immature people. The mature people can grow out of that need. The immature people cannot handle without companionship. So emotional companionship, that is why nowadays, in olden days, even today, we have to say, we should never stop with one child. One must have at least two children, at least two or more than two. Other people are getting so many. At least, you know, it is not only for your, not only for our preserving our Sanatana Dharma, for Dharmis, it's also for emotional companionship. You have at least two in the family, the brother and sister, sisters, or two sisters, two brothers, at least they need companionship. Because emotional companionship is very important for them to grow. One becomes the companion for the other, contributing for other persons, mutually contributing for emotional growth. So the immature minded naturally are very much dependent on companionship. So it is very natural for such people to have the sense of belonging. The immature minded who are craving for companionship and relationship have great sense of belonging, sense of possession. And they try to claim as things and people as one's own. Oh, this is mine, this belongs to me, such etc. Suppose if such companionship is not possible, relationship is not possible, if they do not have any sense of belonging to anything, they do not belong somewhere, then there'll be tremendous pain of loneliness. The sense of being alone, sense of being lonely. There'll be that's the feeling of loneliness will be disturbing them. And it is having this problem of entertaining the loneliness, sense of loneliness, will contribute for many other mental illnesses, mental problems. I repeat the sentence. This sense of being lonely, okay, not having any company, not having any relationship, not having anything to relate to, not having anything to belong to, will contribute for many psychological issues. And they have different types of, sometimes you can't even understand why the problems are there. In fact, sannyasis are supposed to be alone. Sannyasi is not lonely. Sannyasi should not feel lost. The sannyasi is the one who does not, should not feel lonely, but he'll be alone. See, being alone is different from being lonely. A person, even amidst a crowd, sannyasi can remain alone. With people, without people, sannyasi is supposed to be alone mentally. But he will not feel lonely. Without people also, he will not feel lonely. Whereas the people who are emotionally immature will definitely, who do not have anything to belong to, will feel very lonely. And feeling lonely will contribute for psychological problems. Psychiatric, some problems, issues. So some sannyasis are missed. In fact, some people who wear saffron robes also, but they don't have anything to belong to. Sannyasi is not supposed to. They're also mistaken to be having problems because they nothing to belong. They nothing to belong to. That's not true. A real, that's why sannyasi, whoever sannyasi, must have the company of the shastra. Okay, if a person is given, taken to life of sannyasa, means what is sannyasi's job? Sannyasi knows the purpose of living life of sannyasa. Sannyasi knows the value of jnanam. He is supposed to know the goal being moksha. Therefore, sannyasi knows the shastra is the only means of attainment of moksha. So shastra study is a must for sannyasi. He must, sannyasi or sannyasini must always have shastra as the company. Must be the company of shastra. Subject matter of the shastram, Bhagavan becomes the companion for sannyasi. Supposed to be. Then sannyasi will not feel any, will not have any psychological, psychiatric problems. Even everyone needs a relationship, companionship is a must. I mean emotional, not physical. Emotional companionship is a must. Pooja Swamiji used to talk so much about it. If a sannyasi is able to be alone, means that because sannyasi also has shastram as company. So shastram becomes the company, means understanding of the teaching of the shastram helps sannyasi have Bhagavan as the company. So this maturity comes. So that's why Swamiji always used to say, sannyasa without shastram will be dangerous. Sannyasa without shastram will be dangerous. Because sannyasi cannot have any other companionship. Anyway, out of the track. Let me come back to the class. Which means, it is very natural for any human mind, it's very natural for any human mind to have some very, to have some companionship, to have some relationship, to have very strong bonding. Very important for any human mind to have some strong bonding with something or the other. So sannyasi has a strong bonding with Bhagavan. Sannyasi is supposed to have strong bonding with the shastram, the teaching. There's no problem. So any human mind must have strong bonding with something or the other. That is why Grihastha Ashrama has been created for one's own growth. Grihastha Ashrama, once you get married, you have strong bonding with the wife or husband and children and parents, and then, you know, strong bonding comes. Very important in the very beginning to have strong bonding, later on to gradually relieve oneself from bondage. You have to enter into the house to come out of the house. Enter into Grihastha Ashrama to gradually come out as a mature individual. Enter into Grihastha Ashrama as an immature minded little mature minded, and come out from Grihastashrama as a more mature minded. You must know what strong bonding is later on to free yourself from bondage. Therefore, what Shastram says, if a human mind naturally needs to have some strong bonding with something or the other, otherwise there'll be lot of psychological issues. Anyway, that is the reason Shastram says, Sanyasaha is a subject matter which can be discussed only with highly, highly prepared minded. Sanyasaha, renunciation, should not be discussed at all with the people who are not adequately prepared. Okay. In fact, without adequate mental preparation, if a person takes to the life of sannyasaha, then that life will become a terrible life. An immature person taking to life of sannyasa, simply wearing saffron robe and going door to door for bhiksha, life become miserable. Miserable life. Okay, therefore one must take care of one's emotional maturity. That is why Shastram teaches, okay, one has to go through the karma yoga. One has to live a life of karma yoga. One has to enter into grihastha ashrama from brahmacharya ashrama. One must enter into grihastha ashrama. And one has to do one's ashrama dharmas, duties, and varna dharmas in conformity with dharma, prayerfully with the proper attitude as an offering to Bhagavan. And he must also know how to receive everything with seamless of mind, looking at everything as Bhagavan's prasada. So one must live a life of karma yoga in order to become, you know, adequately mature. So that one must go, entering into grihastha ashrama itself is for two purposes. The main purpose of entering into grihastha ashrama is to prepare one's mind ultimately for the pursuit of jnanam. And another secondary important is to contribute for the purpose, to have progeny for the perpetuation of dharma. To have progeny for the perpetuation of dharma. So these are the two important purposes, main purposes of entering into the grihastha ashrama lifestyle. Okay, and only then, in due course of time, a person can become adequately mature. No, then he'll become qualified for the attainment of jnanam. That is why it is said one must go through karma yoga also. Anyway, that's a different topic. So what I want to say here, we come to the point here. Bhagavan says, people of immature minds or immature minded people who are not adequately pure mentally, for them yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam. Very nice. Okay, understand Bhagavan's who should not give up. Renunciation is not recommended at all. So activity in the form of invoking the grace of Bhagavan of Devatas through the performance of fire rituals should not be given up. Charitable activities should not be given up. Discipline, religious disciplines one has to practice for one's emotional maturity should not be given up. they should not be given up at all. They must be practiced by people who have yet to become mentally pure, who yet to become prepared emotionally. What Bhagavan says here. Why one should not give up yajna? No, it's very important. Only by performing ritual, by being charitable, by following religious disciplines in terms of tapas, one can in due course of time become adequately mature. One will become qualified for the pursuit of jnana. Therefore, Bhagavan says, yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyam eva tat, must be practiced, must be followed. Okay. Even today, all acharyas perform, all Shankar Mathadipatis, they perform rituals, they don't need perform pujas. They don't need, they do because they want to set an example for other simple people. That's why even if it's given to study of Shastram, even if you understand the fact that jnanam is the only means of attaining moksha, still never ever give up your worship, daily worship, prayer and other duties. So must. Natyajyam. Now, Bhagavan says, these are the main religious disciplines. Yajna, Danam, Tapas are the three main religious disciplines. Dharmika Karmani. So they should not be given up. And religious disciplines, what is yajna? Yajna is a Vedic form of worship. So worshipping Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena, offering oblations to the performance of ritual. And we have substitute for Vedic form of worship is what? Daily worship. Worshipping Bhagavan in any given form. Ishta Devata Rupam. Okay. Even though the word yajna literally means worship of Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena through the offering of oblations is yajna. But yajna implies worshipping Bhagavan in any form, in some form or the other, is yajna. So yajna implies being worshipful. And what is worship for? We all know very well. Worship is a symbolic act of offering. It is not real act of offering. Because for us, Bhagavan is everything. Offered is Bhagavan. What offering is Bhagavan. What is being offered is Bhagavan. The one who is offered to is Bhagavan. Therefore, really nothing can be offered to Bhagavan, who alone is in the form of everything. Therefore, worship is a symbolic act of offering. Through that symbolic act of offering, we actually express our subtle attitude we have in our mind, the gratitude in our mind to Bhagavan. Our gratefulness to Bhagavan is for all that we are blessed with. The food we eat is blessing from Bhagavan. The shelter we have is blessing from Bhagavan. The dress we wear is Bhagavan's blessing. So we are very, very grateful to Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena, but for whose contribution we wouldn't be able to have the basic needs, food, clothing and shelter. Therefore, we feel so blessed that we are blessed with everything, all basic needs for our requirement. Therefore, we feel grateful to Bhagavan, and that gratitude, the gratefulness needs to be expressed. How are you going to express? So in the form of through the symbolic act of offering, we express our gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of phenomena, which is called worship. So this act of worship also is a will-involved action. Therefore, it is highly productive, highly effective, efficacious. That worship will bless us with everything that we need for our lives. Therefore, worship will bless a person with prosperity required for living this life. So, by tapping Bhagavan's grace through our worship, being blessed with everything that we need in life, then we will be able to focus on study also. Focus in understanding Shastram also. Therefore, worshipping Bhagavan Nitya, in fact, one of the Panchamaha Yajna is what? Deva Yajna. Worshipping Bhagavan in the form of Devatas or worshipping Bhagavan in some form or the other is Yajna. It must be done. Worship is compulsory. Now people need not ask, I am studying Bhagavad Gita. Do I need to go to temple? Do I need to do puja at home? Do I need to sell it? Don't ask. No, Bhagavan has given answer. You are studying Bhagavad Gita, you are studying Upanishad, fine. You know, jnana based only means of attaining moksha. But still, to prepare one's mind, one must perform religious, follow religious discipline. To follow religious discipline means one must be worshipful, one must worship Bhagavan. This yajna. Then, dhanam. Dhanam means, of course, the being charitable is a natural thing in India. In fact, being charitable is something which is always there in India. It's not something new. In other places, people have to come and learn. I don't think a free distribution of food and water is done in any part of the world as much as in India. You must go to Rishikesh and see how people are fed. Everywhere free food. Leave alone the hotels. We never had the culture of hotels. Even food at home. We always have atithis coming home. Atithi means one who comes and stands at the doorstep without informing you about the arrival. Need not be relative. Unknown stranger also can come and ask for food those days, not nowadays. What I'm saying, being charitable is something very natural. And however poor a person is, whatever we have, being able to share very little of what I have is also what being charitable. I need not be a big millionaire or a rich person to have this attitude, no? To be a charitable person. To be a charitable person, need not be rich. Even if I have very little, I must have the mind, the heart to share even little of what I have. Then I am a charitable person. So it's very difficult. Being charitable is the difficult thing. One has to cultivate that. Okay, this is being charitable. So, in fact, the people can do some dhanam in some form or the other. Kanchi Mahapariva used to tell, every day when you cook, you can't do something big. When you cook, at least take one handful of rice and put in a pot and keep it in a corner. And one day you can donate that rice. After a month's time, it becomes so much. Like simple. This can be elaborately discussed. Now you can understand yourself how one can be charitable. So that's also activity. Being charitable is an activity. Okay, dhanam. And then how it should be given. In fact, Taittiriya Upanishad, in Vedantic Upanishad and all, this discipline, this activity of being charitable is emphasized. How we should be given, who should we give, how we should give, with what mind we should give. It seems, it is said, whenever whoever shares any little thing with the other person, wholeheartedly, that improves one's immunity system a lot, it seems. If you give even 5 rupees, or 10 rupees, or one meal to other person wholeheartedly, and that joy in sharing contributes tremendously, it improves one's immunity system itself. It's about dhanam. Anyway, that's different. Let me go to next one, tapas. we already seen in the 17th chapter where Shraddhatra Vibhaga Yoga, we understood everything is threefold. Three types of yajna, three types of dhanam, three types of tapas, sattvikam tapas, rajasam tapas, tamasam tapas, sattvikaha yajna, rajasaha yajna, tamasaha yajna, sattvikam dhanam, tamasam dhanam, rajasam dhanam, etc. We understood how everything is threefold. Therefore, Bhagavan says, all these come under the category of activity. Worshipfulness, being charitable, and being given to the practice of religious disciplines, certain disciplines, all come under the category of activity. So they must be choicelessly, necessarily followed. They should not be given up. Why? Because yajnadan, yajnodanam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam, they alone in due course of time contribute for the mental purification. They are all purifiers. Purifiers means what? All the obstacles. See, they remove the obstacles in the form of emotional disturbances. See, raga, strong likes, strong dislikes, anger, jealousy, hatred, fear, anxiety, you know, all greed. So all these are strong emotional disturbances, and they become big impediments for obstacles in our pursuit of jnanam, even in the discipline of studying the shastra. Therefore, in order to get rid of, gradually resolve the obstacles in the form of emotional disturbances, they are known as impurities. They are known as impurities. So, having these impurities in the form of natural, we don't need to feel guilty about having them. We're natural. Jealousy is natural. Hatred is natural. Anger is very natural. Strong likes and dislikes are very, very natural. So to have these natural emotional problems, which are known as mental impurities, to have them resolved to certain extent, totally we can never have them resolved. To have them resolved to certain extent, it is very important for us to involve ourselves in the activities in terms of yajna, dhanam, tapaha. There, manishinam pavanani. Only if we consciously, worshipfully, prayerfully, we involve ourselves in these activities, in due course of time, it will be possible for us to manage our emotions. So being able to manage our emotions in the form of likes and dislikes, anger, etc. alone, is said to be being free from the mental impurities. Being able to manage is being free from them relatively. Then it will be possible for us to pursue jnanam, to be able to study the shastram, to be able to understand the shastram also. Okay. See, mental impurities become a person who is mentally, of course, all are mentally impure only. All human beings have mental impurities. But people who are able to manage the impurities, people who are absolutely free from the impurities are absolutely pure-minded jnanis. But who can attain jnanam? Those are given to the study of the shastram. Those are given to the discipline of jnana yoga. And people who are able to manage these emotions are the people who are people who are able to manage these emotions are the people who are able to pursue the jnana, able to who are qualified for the pursuit of jnana. Therefore, it is said, Yajnadana tapakarma manishinam pavanani. They should not be given up. Bhagavan says, strictly says, you should not be given up. And double emphasis. That is why following a religious discipline, we understand worshipping, being worshipful, being prayerful, you know, practicing other, following a certain other disciplines, etc., is not for, you know, people, superstitious belief. No. It is for us to become pure. Therefore, really practicing these disciplines makes a person a religious person. A religious person alone can become a strong-minded. So religious disciplines cannot be practiced by a person who is weak-minded. In fact, one has to be mature even to understand. See, a jnani is absolutely mature person. But even to understand the importance of jnanam, one must be mature. To understand the importance of Bhagavan worship, one must be mature. To know the efficacy of prayer, significance of worship, one must be mature. Certainly, maturity is important. And to know the value and importance of knowledge, one must be mature. So, there are many people who do not know the connection between Shastram and Jnanam. Jnanam and Moksha. Jnanam and Bhagavan. Worship and people do not understand the connection between why I must be ethical. Why I must be religious. Why I must be spiritual. And as a spiritual person, I am religious, I am ethical also. One must understand the connection. And without being ethical, one cannot become mentally pure. Without being religious, one cannot become mentally steady. Without becoming mentally steady and pure and steady, one cannot be successful as a spiritual person. Unless a person, as a spiritual person, one must be ethical and religious. So one can be successful as a spiritual person, one can attain jnanam. Unless one attains jnanam, there's no way of freeing oneself from bondage. People must see the connection and relevance of everything. And if people do not have that bhagyam, that punyam, I tell you, people who do not have punyam cannot understand, cannot, you know, feel the relevance at all of studying the Shastram. They do not understand the importance of anything. Therefore, how can we earn punyam? That is why Bhagavan says there's no way of having such punyam even to understand the relevance and importance. Therefore, yajnadana tapaha is what purifies of people who are devout. So Shankara Bhagavad Pada in his commentary on this verse, he says, one must not give up all these things in order to become qualified for the attainment of jnana. Okay? In order to become a real sannyasi, in order to renounce all this, one must not renounce. Okay? In order to renounce all these things ultimately, one should not renounce in the beginning. So non-renunciation is important ultimately for renunciation. Hope you all understood it. That is Shankar Bhagavad Pada says, non-renunciation of yajnadana tapaha is important ultimately for the real renunciation. This is the verse. Next verse. ஏதான்யபி து கர்மாணி சங்கம் த்யக்த்வா ஃபலானி ச கர்த்தவ்யானீதி மே பார்த்த நிச்சிதம் மதமுத்தமம். ஏதான்யபி து கர்மாணி ஏதான்யபி து கர்மாணி சங்கம் த்யக்த்வா ஃபலானி ச கர்த்தவ்யானீதி மே பார்த்த நிச்சிதம் மதமுத்தமம். நௌ ஏதானி அபி கர்மாணி கர்த்தவ்யானி, பகவான் சேஸ் தீஸ் ஏதானி அபி கர்மாணி கர்த்தவ்யானி. பட் ஹவு திஸ் பி கர்ம கௌ சங்கம் பலானி ச த்யக்த்வா. So, sangam palani cha tyaktvam. Tyaktvam means renouncing, having renounced what sangam attachment cha and palani the results of actions. Yetani karmani, all these actions must be what now kartavyani. Etani karmani means all these activities in terms of yajna, in terms of karma, tapaha, danam, etc. All these must be performed. Kartavyani, you all know, tavir sapsha. Etani karmani kartavyani, all these activities must be performed. How? Renouncing, giving up the attachment and the results. Sangam phalani cha tyaktva etani karmani kartavyani. Etani api karmani, etanyapitu karmani. Sangam phalani cha tyaktva kartavyani. Iti, he is addressing, hey Partha, Arjuna, மே உத்தமம் மதம், திஸ் இஸ் மை எக்ஸால்டட் டீச்சிங். மே நிச்சிதம் உத்தமம் மதம், திஸ் இஸ் மை டெஃபினிட் எக்ஸால்டட் டீச்சிங். திஸ் இஸ் மை டெஃபினிட் பெஸ்ட் டீச்சிங். பகவான் சேஸ், ஹே பார்த்த, ஹே அர்ஜுனா, நிச்சிதம் உத்தமம் மதம், மே மம நிச்சிதம் உத்தமம் மதம். மதம் மீன்ஸ் ஹியர் விஷன், திஸ் இஸ் மை எக்ஸால்டட் விஷன். மதம் மீன்ஸ் தாட், மதம் மீன்ஸ் கண்டென்ஷன், மதம் மீன்ஸ் வியூ, திஸ் இஸ் மை வியூ. பட் பகவான்ஸ் வியூ இஸ் நாட் அ வியூ, பகவான்ஸ் வியூ இஸ் எ டீச்சிங் விஷன். So, this is my exalted teaching. This is my exalted vision, Arjuna. This is the vision of the fact. This is my teaching. This is the best teaching. My best teaching. A definite best teaching. What he says, Hey Partha, me uttamam matam. What is my best teaching? What is Bhagavan's best teaching? ஏதானி கர்மாணி கர்த்தவ்யானி. ஃபர்ஸ்ட் திங், ஆல் தீஸ் ஆக்டிவிட்டீஸ் இன் டர்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் யஜ்ஞா, தானம், தபா மஸ்ட் பி பர்ஃபார்ம்ட். பட் ஹவு மெனி மஸ்ட் பி, ஹவு தே ஷுட் பி பர்ஃபார்ம்ட்? பலானி சங்கம் தியக்த்வா, தே மஸ்ட் பி பர்ஃபார்ம்ட் கிவிங் அப் அட்டாச்மெண்ட் அண்ட் ரிசல்ட்ஸ் அண்ட் த ரிசல்ட்ஸ். So, Bhagavan teaches Karma Yoga here. How one must perform. What should be performed? How should be performed? What should be performed? Yajnaha Danam Tapaha. Activity in the form of Yajna Dana Tapaha must be performed. And how they should be performed? That is said in the 6th verse. Okay. Now, you all know very well how they should be performed. Giving up, அட்டாச்மெண்ட். சங்கம் தியக்த்வா கர்த்தவ்யானி. Let me explain first. Sangam tyaktva means, see, being attached to the results of actions is being attached. Being attached to the results of actions is being attached. What does it mean? Being dependent on the results of actions. See, depending upon the results of actions for one's happiness and security, performing actions is said to be being attached. But doing one's duties, performing one's actions for the sake of doing, without being dependent on the results of actions or actions for one's happiness and security, is performing actions without attachment. Is it clear? This is what are you are doing anyway. If performance of actions, if a person is dependent on performing activities on the results of actions for one's happiness and security, then it is, he's attached to the results. He attached to the activities. He performs his duties perfectly well with total involvement, but he knows very well he is dependent only on jnanam for his security and happiness. He performs, yeah, because he has to do it. He's doing it for the sake of doing, for his emotional maturity, for his mental purification. Prayerfully he does it, then he is performing it without attachment. Is it clear? That is the teaching here. Sangam phalanicha tyaktva. This is my best teaching, Bhagavan says. See, even when a person performs, okay, not only which activity, any activity. See, Vaidikam karma or Laukikam karma. Even worship. Okay, every day I'm getting up in the morning, I'm lighting the lamp, I'm offering Naivedyam, or going to temple, or praying, or chanting. Even the religious activity one must perform. How I'm doing, I seek Bhagavan's grace. Okay, for my emotional maturity, for me to be able to live a life of dharma. But even I'm not dependent at all upon any result of action, even with religious activities or mundane activities. For security and happiness, it becomes, then it is a proper action. So, yajna, danam, whatever I do, phalani, sangam, tyaktva means, but for both words together, performing one's duties, performing activities in the form of performance of ritual, worshipping Bhagavan in some form or the other, or being charitable, or giving, sharing, or even following any vratams, or following any religious disciplines, anything without being dependent on the results of activities for one's happiness and security, is said to be performing them without any attachment. Okay? Then such an action is called what? Yoga, karma yoga. So performing actions without being attached to the results of actions is said to be karma phalatyagaha. Okay? It is, and that is the best teaching, Bhagavan says. That becomes, the karma becomes a preparatory discipline. If a person performs these activities without being attached to the results of actions, without being dependent on the results of actions for one's happiness and security, if he performs them only for his emotional maturity, then those activities become what? Preparatory disciplines. Karma becomes yoga. Then it becomes worship. It becomes an offering to Bhagavan. Therefore, this is the that contributes for emotional maturity, antahkarna shuddhi. Antahkarna shuddhi. It will contribute for hacha yoga karta hacha karma is performed through attachment will contribute for one's emotional maturity, one's mental preparedness, mental purification. Therefore, Bhagavan says there's no way of having one's mind purified. Therefore, Bhagavan says, this is the best teaching. This is my best vision. Exalted vision, Arjuna, he says. Okay. Sangam tyaktva palani cha. Okay. Why? Because if a person has purushartha nischayaha, he is committed to the pursuit of jnanam and he knows the importance of becoming mentally pure and steady. And his focus will be on having mental purification, steadiness for jnanam, ultimately for moksha. I need to become mentally pure and steady to be eligible for the attainment of jnanam, ultimately for moksha. With this understanding, when a person performs his duties, whatever the person performs, yajna, dana, tapaha, everything becomes yoga. Okay? But one must have punyam to have purushartha nischeha. One must have punyam to become committed to the pursuit of jnanam. One must have punyam to know the value of jnanam. One must have punyam to understand the, how one should perform one's duties. No, to do one's karma without with proper attitude, without being attached to the results and the without performing actions without attachment and results. Is it clear? This is the teaching of this verse.
Niyatasya tu sannyasaha karmano nopapadyate mohatasya parityagaha tamasav parikirtitaha.
Now, as I told you already, we are going to have the brief summary of all that we have learned already. Again, we are going to see in this following verse also. Which is time, please remind me. Is it time? Okay. Doesn't matter. But now we have entered into the Bhagavad Gita because of a long break. Only today I have come back to the class. Do you see that? Only today from morning I've been in the class. All these days there are so many disturbances and distractions. And now Bhagavan is going to say what is tamasaha tyagaha and what is rajasaha tyagaha, what is satvikaha tyagaha. Bhagavan is going to discuss all that. We can follow in the next class. It's all right. We have entered into Bhagavad Gita class today and will continue properly from, I think we have come to the important point. All introduction is getting over. Now we will see the proper contents of 18th chapter from next class.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Rubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.